Oops. You ready?
House Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It's 3:15 on Friday, January 30th. President Representative Tilton, Representative Hughes, Representative Josephson, Representative Keto, and myself, Chair Olson. We do have a quorum to conduct business, and I believe we won't have anybody else showing up today. I think they've got excused absences. Please turn off your cell phones, and today the only thing on the agenda is the overview from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Commissioner Dreyfuss, how do you want to handle it? You want to go first, or you want to bring them all up, or you want to move all the chairs up? Your call.
I don't know if we have to do that. I think I can just come up. I'll bring Paloma Harbor, my Administrative Services Director, with me, also my my technical operator.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those. He's sitting in the corner. And, oh, didn't see you sneak in. We've been joined by Representative Colbert. Were you here when I did the first round? You snuck in.
You didn't miss anything.
I had to speed up my clock.
You got by me. Please state your name and identification for the, or whatever, for the record.
Okay. This thing close. Good afternoon, Chairman Olson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Heidi Dreyfuss. I am the Commissioner Designee for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Thank you for inviting me here today to provide you with an overview of our department and to tell you a little bit about myself. And I can keep telling you about myself, okay?
You got our undivided attention.
Well, I've had the opportunity to meet with many of you, so it's nice to see you again.
We've also been joined by Representative Ledoux, and I think that'll definitely be the last person coming in.
Before I get started, I do want to introduce my staff. This is Paloma Harbor, the Director of Administrative Services for the Department. Greg Cashin, Deputy Commissioner. Joe Thomas, Deputy Commissioner. And Anna Latham, Legislative Liaison. So I was born and raised in Fairbanks. I graduated from Lathrop High School, and I attended the University of Alaska Fairbanks and received a degree in history. And my dad used to tell me that and $2.50 would buy me a latte. So I went off to law school. I attended law school at Willamette University in Salem, Oregon. And I returned to Fairbanks, and I clerked for the Honorable Judge Pengilly on the Alaska Superior Court in Fairbanks. After that, I moved to Anchorage, and I began practicing as an associate at Guess & Rudd, working primarily in the area of insurance defense. And I had this unique opportunity presented to me to join the Alaska District Council of Laborers as their general counsel, which was a position I held for proudly for nearly 10 years. And in that position, and please let me know if I'm speaking too close. I'm actually quite a loud talker, so I can hear a little feedback. I handled negotiations, contract administration, grievance adjudication, arbitration, and hearings before the Alaska Labor Relations Agency and the National Labor Relations Board. I love to cook. I have a food blog that many of you might know about. If you don't, it's Chena Grill Cooks, so check it out. I'm an avid fisherwoman, hiker, and berry picker, and I've logged many hours fishing for silvers in Valdez. And I'm happy to be here to talk about our department today.
Please continue. Oh, I might add, I have been to your blog. Actually, I was to your food blog before I had the opportunity of meeting you, and I would recommend it to anybody.
It's a fun, creative outlet, yes. And if any of you make my recipes, let me know. So, department overview. The department's mission is to provide safe and legal working conditions and to advance opportunities for employment for Alaskans. The department accomplishes this mission through its key program priorities of protecting Alaska's workers through statutory and regulatory consultation and enforcement, developing an Alaskan workforce for Alaska's jobs, and income replacement for injured, unemployed, or disabled Alaskan workers. This next slide shows our offices by location, and as you can see, we're all across the state. We'll go into more detail in each of these divisions, but very quickly I will tell you that the red dots on the map indicate the Alaska Job Center Network, through which the department provides staff-assisted employment and training services. The blue dots indicate our vocational rehabilitation offices, where we provide employment and training services to disabled Alaskans. The Alaska Vocational Technical Center, most commonly referred to as AVTEC, is indicated by a purple dot in Seward. And last but not least, our other program offices are indicated by green on the map, and these include unemployment insurance, labor standards and safety, workers' compensation, and other programs that I'll talk about more in the slides to come. The department's organizational chart. This slide shows our organizational chart by key program priority. Two of our divisions have programs that cross program priority lines, so we indicate that accordingly on the org chart, and that's employment security and voc rehab, our vocational rehabilitation divisions. There are some lines of distinction that are a little bit fuzzy. For example, our workers' compensation division has some crossover into the protect workers priority because of their efforts to ensure employers have workers' compensation insurance for their employees. But the department has historically placed them in the income replacement area because they primarily ensure benefit payments to Alaska's injured workers. The Alaska Labor Relations Agency administers the Public Employment Relations Act, or PARA, and the labor provisions of the Alaska Railroad Corporation Act pertain to collective bargaining for public employers. It facilitates resolution of disputes between organized labor and public employers. The Alaska Workforce Investment Board provides policy oversight of state and federally funded job training and vocational education programs, provides an annual report to the legislature on the performance and evaluation of the state's training programs, and it's a 26-member board representing industry, labor, education, commerce, and Native groups. And it's actually meeting here next week on February 2nd and 3rd in Juneau. AVTEC, the Alaska Vocational Technical Center, that's located in Seward. Its mission is to provide market-driven vocational and technical training to prepare Alaska residents for jobs. In fiscal year 14, AVTEC had 382 long-term program enrollees and 898 short-term programs. AVTEC's fiscal year 2014 completion rate was 89%, and 89% of AVTEC's fiscal year 13 graduates were placed in training-related jobs within the following year, and we're very proud of that statistic. Our Division of Business Partnerships, it administers the department's competitive and pass-through workforce development grants programs. In fiscal year 2014, nearly 3,000 Alaskans received training through the state Training and Employment Program, or STEP program, administered by DBP. 87% of the 2013 STEP training participants entered training-related jobs in Alaska. And I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody has as we go through the slides. Our Employment Security Division provides employment and training services through the Alaska Job Center Network and online through the Alaska Labor Exchange System, otherwise known as ALEXIS. It also provides economic stability to unemployed Alaskans through unemployment insurance and adult basic education in order to advance opportunities for employment for Alaskans who need that extra assistance. The Labor Standards and Safety Division provides enforcement, training, and monitoring of laws governing occupational safety and health, wages and hours, child labor, and electrical and mechanical codes. The division also supports the Alaska Safety Advisory Council that is responsible for the annual Governor's Safety Conference. This past year, the division developed a 10-hour OSHA safety course that was used to improve safety in the target industry of seafood processing. As a direct result of this course, the state experienced a record low workplace lost time illnesses and injuries rate per 100 employees of 0.61. down from 1.13 in fiscal year 2013, which is a remarkable drop for 1 year. A majority of the decrease occurred in the seafood processing industry, and we're very proud of that statistic. The Division of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Representative Ledoux.
Do you have any feelings about why that, what caused that drop in the seafood processing industry?
As I stated before, really, we believe it was a direct result of this 10-hour OSHA safety course we did specifically geared towards the seafood processing industry. It had a significant and immediate effect, and we're going to continue that program in the future. It clearly had a positive effect for Alaska's workforce.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you. The Division of Vocational Rehabilitation assists Alaskans with disabilities to secure and maintain employment and provides economic stability to disabled Alaskans through Social Security disability determinations. In fiscal year 2014, DVR had 607 individuals employed upon exit from their individualized plan for employment, which is an increase from 598 in fiscal year 2013 and represents the second highest level on record. The average wage of employed individuals exiting the DVR program equaled $14.31, which is an increase from $13.84 in fiscal year 2013. Alaska is regularly among the top 15 in the nation for the average wage.
Representative Hughes.
Thank you. I noticed on the map that it looked like that the MATSU doesn't have a voc rehab center anymore. Did I see the map correctly? Is that true? And do you know when it?
We do have vocational rehabilitation located in MATSU.
Oh, okay. Good. And actually, my daughter participated in that a number of years ago. We discovered she had severe hearing loss, and it was actually a great resource for her. And I don't know if it ever got recorded, but she was a success story of that, went to college and is gainfully employed and a productive citizen. So,
on that point, excuse me, Rita.
I'm done.
There was some talk last year of closing down the Muldoon office. Did that happen, or is it still open?
Currently, the Muldoon Job Center is still open. However, given the fact that we are experiencing severely declining federal funds, in addition to obviously declining UGF, we are all but certain that we will have to close some job centers. The final list of job centers that will close has not been determined. That's something that I still want to review. And I will work with the representatives in those areas where we are looking to close job centers before we do so to make sure that we engage them. And it's not to say that we won't have to close those job centers, but I do want a collaborative process when we do that. And through the chair, Representative Hughes, that's a wonderful story. I love hearing those stories. In fact, we've done this presentation a couple times, and that was the first time that we realized the blue is missing from Wasilla. So we'll fix our dot and make sure that people know that that we do have vocational rehabilitation services in the MATSU. Workers' compensation. The Workers' Compensation Division aids Alaskans with employment-related injuries and illnesses by administering the Alaska Workers' Compensation Act, the Fisherman's Fund, the Workers' Compensation Benefits Guarantee Fund, and the Second Injury Fund. And the fun slide, the budget. The department's fiscal year 2016 governor's endorsed budget totals $179.4 million, 53% of which is federal funds, $94.4 million. The department's unrestricted general funds in fiscal year 2016 endorsed budget totals $29.2 million, which is down $4.2 million from the current year, fiscal year 2015. This is equivalent to a 12.5% reduction. To implement this reduction, the department is focusing on the governor's goal of redesigning administrative infrastructure to maintain maximum program and services delivery. There will obviously be funding implications for programs resulting from a cut of this magnitude, but I'm committed to streamlining services, finding efficiencies, and developing partnerships to maintain key services and program priorities. And this dovetails nicely with my vision for the department. I've had the opportunity to visit many of the department's campuses in Juneau and in Anchorage. I still have, I'm looking forward to visiting those in the MATSU as well as in Fairbanks and other outlying areas. The
what struck me about the department is the people that work there are absolutely committed to the work that we do, which is protecting the public and providing assistance where necessary. The department is filled with employees that are committed to helping, protecting, and employing Alaskans. Here's my vision for the department. I want to streamline programs and revamp the workforce development system to ensure maximum effectiveness and efficiency within a sustainable budget. I'm currently reviewing a proposal that would return the department to its fiscal year 2003 structure of having workforce development grants administered by the Employment Securities Division instead of a separate business partnerships division. We estimate that this will result in a savings to the department of $800. Thank you. I was worried about that at the beginning. We estimate that this will result in a savings to the department and to the state of $850,000. Given declining funding, this revamp is critical to ensuring that the maximum amount of funds possible are going out on the streets in the form of grants for training and workforce development opportunities for Alaskans. I'm also very focused, as is this governor, of increasing Alaska Hire in priority industries and occupations to ensure that Alaskans are getting Alaska's jobs. Part of this will be addressed through a more targeted workforce development funding, through more targeted workforce development funding in areas with high non-resident hire rates. And the other part will be through an increased focus on Alaska resident hire enforcement. The Department of Labor and Workforce Development is charged by statute to enforce the state's resident hire laws. Hiring Alaskans to fill Alaska's jobs is critical to the economic success of our state and the residents that we serve. Alaska has one of the highest ratios of non-resident to resident workers in the nation, which impacts the rate of unemployment among residents. Non-resident workers use services provided by the state but do not contribute fairly to the cost of those services because the state has no personal income or sales tax. Alaskans suffer economically when non-residents displace qualified residents, since resident workers contribute to local taxes as well as their share of the royalties from natural resources. I will also continue to focus on the department's other key priority program areas of ensuring economic stability for injured, unemployed, and disabled workers, and ensuring safe and legal working conditions for Alaska's workers.
Will the construction academy still fit into the picture?
If I had my way, yes. I think the Alaska Construction Academy is a great example of training opportunities for young Alaskans. It trains, it's a program that trains 18 to 24-year-olds, often coming right out of high school, and exposes them to the construction trades. It's a terrific program. It does require a significant amount of UGF funds, but we're going to work very hard to maintain those funds because we believe the program is so important and vital to young Alaskans.
The only one I'm intimately familiar with is one in Kenai, and it's really been helpful, especially with all the jobs that are becoming available on the North Road at the where they're ramping up for the gas projects, mm-hmm. Carpenters, welders. It's been real good. And like you say, it's the kids coming right out of high school. It's, at least in our part of the state, it's been just a real asset. And I also believe you took a hit last year on your budget. I think this is the second year in a row that you've taken a pretty good hit, or pretty bad hit.
We did. Yeah, pretty bad hit. I can't remember the amount, but we did suffer a hit to those funds.
Oh, representing views. We've got to hold it in the eye.
Yeah, I'm outside your peripheral vision. Thank you for the presentation, and just wondering, I seem to recall in the State of the State the governor talking a little bit about things that are related to your department, and but I don't quite remember, although I think it had to do with vocational education kind of things and partnering maybe with the schools. And also I wanted to ask you if there's any kind of work being done as far as with corrections, as far as inmates getting back to the workforce, and if you could talk to those two
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, that is absolutely true. The governor is committed to vocational and technical training and has requested that the commissioners of labor and education and the university partner together to work on how we can make workforce development opportunities in the state more efficient and essentially do more with less with the planning funds. And to that end, I actually had a meeting this morning with President Gamble to talk about vocational and technical training. It was a really terrific meeting and starting point. We already have a plan in place to kind of work together. I also had, ironically today, a meeting with Commissioner Hanley on working with the Department of Education on CTE, career and technical training education, to find efficiencies where we can, get some real hard data to look at to see where the three of these departments can work, or these two departments and the university to work together to find efficiencies and to identify what are those key areas where we need further workforce training. What are those areas where we're training workers where they're not finding jobs because there isn't that need? That is something we are partnering together with, and the three of us are really excited about that opportunity. This governor is committed to CTE training, and we're ready to step up to the plate. The other question about the Department of Corrections, I've had some really good conversations with Commissioner Taylor on, we've already had a role in the reemployment of prisoners in the Alaska prison system. The department has had a role. And I'm looking to continue that partnership and perhaps even highlight it further and work harder. We all know that when a prisoner gets out of incarceration and finds a job, you give them a purpose. You give them a reason to keep going every day that doesn't result. It has an obvious effect on recidivism. And I'm very aware of that. When I was an attorney several years ago, I got a copy of the Alaska Bar Rag, which is the attorney publication that Representative Josephson, I'm sure, is aware of. And there was an article that the judicial system worked with a lot of the women at Highland Correctional Center on career training and advancement and just talking about what would happen when you get out of prison. And we heard a story at a Women in Justice luncheon, a story from a woman who had gotten out of Highland Correctional Center, and she was in for a drug-related crime, and she spent a couple years in Highland, but she got some career training, and when she got out, she was so thankful for what had happened and had turned her life around. And those stories like that, I think, really impact you. That was probably 5 years ago, and I still remember it. And I remember thinking, I wish there was some way I could do something with that. And so I'm pretty excited that now in this role I can. And I'm looking forward to working with my staff and working with Commissioner Taylor's staff on enhancing our commitment, or increasing our commitment, and enhancing that partnership with the Department of Corrections on that program.
Follow-up?
A follow-up comment that I remember my husband was actually running the medical departments in five of the institutions, correctional institutions, and he would bring home stories, not identifying anyone, but that there were actually inmates that had come back through the revolving door because they couldn't find a job and they needed medical attention and couldn't afford it. And so they purposely made sure that they ended up back in there. So anyway, that you may be aware of that, but I find that interesting. And it also makes me think of another population I wanted to ask about, and that is veterans. Do you have anything that you work at in your department, or do you partner with Military and Veterans Affairs on that? Because I know that is an issue as far as job placement for returning veterans.
Well, we partner with the Helmets to Hard Hats program with the Department of Labor that works with employing veterans in the construction trades. Not necessarily with veterans, but we also work together with the Military Youth Academy on some of their program requirements.
And in fact, I was just invited by the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to speak to a group of, I guess, currently enlisted officers and members of the military that are going to be soon be getting out of the military. There's a proper term for that, and it's escaping me right now. But to talk to them about different opportunities and career opportunities, and I believe that's later on this month, and that when we're looking forward to providing a presentation on that. And Healing Hearts is a STEP recipient. And if you'd like to know more about Healing Hearts, I can have my Administrative Services Director, Paloma Harbor, speak more to that.
We've got some time. Would you like to?
Awesome.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record and
bring us
up to speed.
Oh, thank you. For the record, my name is Paloma Harbor. I'm the Administrative Services Division Director for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And I honestly don't know a lot about the program. I know that it works with veterans that are needing some assistance to return to work or actually to adjust to life back in their homes. And so we partner with Healing Hearts, which is the group that does that work, through a state training and employment program grant to help those veterans adjust back to life here and life at work.
Thank you. I know more about it now than I did. Representative Joseph.
Thank you. Ms. Dragas, I'm interested in the subject of Alaska Hire, and I know that we can't say you can't work here because you're from California, because there are constitutional issues with that. But I am curious about how far the envelope can be pushed. In other words, what carrots can be offered, and do you have a sense of that, or does the department have someone who's sort of an expert on that? In terms of reform, and I'm thinking about your comments about our ranking too high in that category.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, that's an excellent question, and I would venture to guess, or I would say that I am very familiar with many experts on Alaska Hire that have been through this and the battles with Alaska Hire for many years, and we are actually in the process of doing an Alaska Resident Hire study to learn more, a little bit more about it. I will tell you that, you know, I am familiar with those challenges, you know, in my previous role at the Alaska Laborers. I will say that we are committed to enforcing Alaska Hire to the fullest extent of the law, and we are in the process of reviewing that to make sure that I'm up to speed on any current developments. I don't think there are any current developments in that, but we are revisiting that issue as we speak, and in fact my staff had a meeting on that just this morning. So I will tell you that we are committed to, you know, the governor has made it absolutely clear that Alaska Hire is one of his top priorities. It's good for Alaskans, it's good for the state, it's good for economic bottom line. So that will be one of my key focuses moving forward.
Paula?
Just to ask that you keep me involved and in the loop as much as you're allowed to.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
That's it? Oh, Representative Tito.
No, he was first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Dragas, and thank you for a very informative and concise presentation. I really enjoyed that. One of the things that you had mentioned that Representative Hughes had also started talking about was the issue of coordination with the other departments, education and university. And you had indicated that you anticipate coordination with those agencies to figure out where you can make progress. I was wondering if there had been any discussions about what kinds of things you see that might be able to be done with all three agencies together. So I don't know if there was any further discussion on that point.
I will tell you we've started the discussion. I mean, we, you know, the governor's made it clear that the three of these heads of these of the university and the two departments need to get together to come up with a CTE plan for the state. So we haven't identified specifics. We've started to lay the foundation for where we're going to go, and I had a great discussion with Commissioner Hanley about not just, we don't want to give lip service to this issue. We want to improve CTE training in the state. And we talked about, even possibly having a task force to look at this and having benchmarks, to reach certain goals throughout the course of the year and really focusing on actual results. We want a results-based review of this issue, and the terrific thing about it, and maybe what's perhaps a little bit different, is there really is this sense of cooperation with the university and with the Department of Education and the Department of Labor, kind of getting the team together to really sit down and talk about it. But the one thing I want to underline is that we are all three committed to putting a lot more effort and paying a lot more attention to this than just giving lip service to it. We really want to make an impact in Alaska when it comes to career and technical training.
Great. Follow up. I think I just want to add a comment to maybe make sure that all three of you are thinking about where our workforce is going to be in about 10 years or so when we start, or maybe even 8 years or so, when we start wanting to try and gear up for a gas pipeline, making sure that we have the resources available to train Alaskans, mm-hmm. or that they're in the pipeline already to be trained to work on the pipeline as it's coming forward.
Through the chair, Representative Keto, just to add to that, we have actually, the department has worked on a plan that was under previously, I guess it's still known as, but there was a plan when AGEA was in place, a gas pipeline workforce development plan. So we're not starting from zero. It's a terrific plan that we can build from there. It identified many different occupations that the Alaska needs to be ready to fill in the event of a gas pipeline, and that's part of our agenda as a department to take that plan and update it and refine it for the current climate and for this administration. So the nice thing is that we're not starting from ground zero.
That's great. Thank you.
Representative Hughes.
Thank you. And with your permission, Mr. Chair, I have a follow-up comment about that before my question, because I was actually wondering about, I remember that there were big spreadsheets and of all the different types of workers that we would need to train up for the future, and I had the good fortune of getting to visit Donlin Gold, their site this summer, or fall maybe it was, and if things stay on track with that, they're looking, I think it was seventh grader, kids that are in seventh grade now would be the workforce for that. And I might be off a grade or two. But it got me to thinking how important it is for you to be connecting with the Department of Education and our school districts around the state. And I wanted you to encourage you to look at the Matsu Career and Tech High School, because it is so sought after. There are wait lists to get in that school. They are now interviewing. It's like a college process to get into that school. The kids are excited about it. It's just a model high school, and their graduation rates, they've been open long enough that, you know, there's probably information now about what those kids are doing now that they're out. But I was really surprised to learn about the wait lists and the interview process. It's very competitive to get in. And when you see high school kids excited about going to a particular school, that's a good thing, especially when it's connected to actually jobs afterwards. So I just encourage you to look at that. And then my question actually is, you've been in your position now for a few weeks. How do you like it, and just what do you think about it all?
It's actually been 4 weeks and 5 days.
But who's counting?
You know, the governor has said a couple times, this wasn't, when he's introduced me at a few events, this wasn't something I was, this wasn't on my career path. This wasn't on my radar at all. And so I was quite surprised when he approached me about this opportunity. And I had to think about it before I jumped in. It's a huge responsibility, and I left a job that I really loved, that I felt good at the end of the day, working with a lot of construction workers and healthcare workers, and I really loved my work at the Alaska Laborers. But it's not often you get the opportunity to have this kind of influence and effect on people and Alaskan workers, and it really was kind of a natural, in a lot of ways that I didn't realize, a natural fit for me. That, you know, I was looking at a smaller scope when I was with the laborers, and now that scope is a little bit broader, and I'm still doing what I love, which is you know, protecting Alaska's workers, and doing what we can to increase training opportunities for Alaskans. It's been sometimes drinking from a fire hose, but I think any hesitation I had about it before I started the job has completely evaporated after I took the job. I'm loving it. I didn't realize that I would enjoy it as much as I do. I think a lot of that is because I have a terrific staff that make it possible for me to get up here and speak to you. I'm amazed at the work that they do. And really, everybody within the departments, I've gone around to the departments and met these people, and the folks at the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, these people have hearts of gold, and they really are committed to helping disabled Alaskans. I mean, you go around and I'm listening to the UI call centers and people taking phone calls and working through people, you know, issues when, you know, people are unemployed. And it's really, the work that we do is so critically important, and I'm understanding that so much more now than I did before I was appointed as commissioner designee. And I'm really humbled and honored that I get the opportunity to do this and to speak with you and to work with this department. It's pretty cool.
Well, this probably won't come as a surprise, but I think we've got almost 1,000 people at Point Thompson right now working. We've got, I'm guessing, 400 or 500 in Cook Inlet, part on the new gas work that's going on the existing fields, new gas out of old fields, but also on the prep work for what's going on in Nikiski, and a lot of them are coming up from outside, not because... Yeah, well, I'll tell you why. We don't have the people with the skills at this point in time, and it's only going to get worse. We're going to end up behind the power curve at some point in time if we really don't. And this obviously is not your fault, but I think it's all of our fault for keeping our heads in the sand. But we really need to start moving. And a big killer from the ones outside, anecdotally, from what I hear, is the inability to pass a UA, which apparently they don't have to do as much down in Texas or Arkansas. They get up here, and the only thing that's keeping them from getting an Alaskan job is the fact that they can't pass a UA. At least I think most of our workers are familiar with it now because so many of the industries up here do it. But we may have to incorporate that into training programs when we start having the volume. But they're here, and they're coming, and there's going to be more of them because there's a lot going on and a lot on the boards. You know, the price of oil is impacting us, but it's not impacting the people that are looking at ultimately at the price of gas in 10 years or 15 years and the demand from the Far East. But it's we're closer than we've ever been, and we're not ready for it again.
We're not ready, and we do need to address the issue, absolutely, and that's why this administration is so committed to training Alaska's workforce and coming up with a comprehensive workforce development plan. Our AWIB meeting is the Alaska Workforce Investment Board meeting is next Monday and Tuesday, and that's something that we're going to be taking up. One of the things that I'd like to do as commissioner is really elevate the work that this board does for this state. It really can be, it should be this overall
policy making authority for workforce development in this state, and I know that the governor is interested in enhancing their role in leading the state when it comes to workforce development.
And it's going to get a little worse next month when marijuana is legalized. What is it, the 24th of February? We're going to have people thinking that it's legal, and they're going to pass or they're going to fail their UA test, not for alcohol, but for marijuana, and find out that they've lost a job, even though they think it's legal, so they can smoke. But I think that's going to have an impact on the workforce. Probably not much at first, but. You know, my personal feeling, I'm not gonna get religious on anybody, but I think we probably should have learned a little more from Colorado and Washington before we jumped in as fast as we did. But it's the will of the people, and we'll give them what they voted for. But it's going to be we're going to be living in interesting times in several months when the people's view of what the impact is and what reality is. I mean, we're layered up pretty good. I count four with, and I'm probably missing at least one or two. But you guys are going to be real busy for the next few years.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, we were that came up in our Senate Labor and Commerce Committee meeting as well. And you know, my answer to that is pretty simple. Not that it was really a question, but you know, there's plenty of things that are legal. Drinking is legal. You know, taking narcotics is legal. That doesn't mean you get to keep your job if you do either of them, if you're under the influence of either of them, you know, while you're at work. And the same goes for marijuana. It doesn't change that fact. Just because you can do it doesn't mean, you know, you should if you're going to go to work, especially with heavy equipment.
I mean, it doesn't change the fact, but it changes the perception.
Sure.
Representative Jones?
Yeah, actually, one other thing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dragas, you've talked to your colleagues about a problem in Alaska with abuse of independent contractor privileges, if that's the right word, and sort of undercutting people in bidding, having employees who are not covered with unemployment insurance or workers' comp under the guise of not being, quote, employees. I hope that's something the department will look at, and maybe the executive branch will have its own bill. But I'm confident you've heard about that. There's a real abuse of that, and it sounds like some reform is needed.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, yes, I'm very aware of worker misclassification issues. And in fact, we had a meeting, I believe it was last week, but the days are starting to blend together, so it may have been earlier this week. But we had a meeting with John Lund, who is with the Federal Department of Labor on the West Coast, and he specifically wanted to address worker misclassification and look to see if the Federal Department of Labor can partner with the State Department of Labor on enforcement of those laws. And they've got an incredible kind of framework for doing just that, doing enforcement of worker misclassification when it comes to independent contractor status, because we all know that has a huge effect on the economy in Alaska too. That, you know, these folks that are categorized as independent contractors aren't paying the proper taxes, aren't paying the workers' comp insurance, aren't doing those things, and
leaving it for us to do that.
And there's exactly, and we pay the bill, and there's huge ramifications for that. We've already had a few meetings with that, and my division director for the Labor Standards and Safety, Gray Mitchell, has met with John Lund on those issues, and we're going to dig in on that. I mean, we have a lot of issues on our plate, but that one is particularly important because it does have such a, not just an economic effect on Alaska, but also a real human effect on Alaskans whenever they're injured on the job, or when they don't have insurance benefits, and when they don't have you know, workers' compensation, when they're not paying into the system, and when they don't realize they have to file the appropriate taxes. It's, you know, when truth be told, they really are truly employees as defined by the law. So
thank you. Thank you.
Representative Ledoux? Nope. you got off easy. Thank you very much for joining us. And if no one else has any more comments, we will gavel out at 4 o'clock.